Isaiah 53 is our Savior's sin offering. You're familiar with it.
The word he, has, him,
occurs about 43 times. Verse 4 says, he, surely he, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Our Savior, substitute, sin offering, sacrifice. Chapter 54 is our Savior's promises. Verse 17 sums it up, the last verse of chapter 54. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now watch this verse, this phrase. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's the reason nobody can charge you or condemn you or no judgment against you, because he's our righteousness. His blood, chapter 53, cleanses, justifies. His righteousness, chapter 54, sanctifies. Please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You're complete in him. Now chapter 55 is our Savior's call. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. It's the Savior's call. I know the call of our Lord is most often sent forth by the mouth of his servant. His prophets, his preachers, his pastors, missionaries. But this chapter 55 here that we're reading this morning is a call from the Lord himself. Every word in chapter 5 is Jehovah speaking. This is not Isaiah speaking. Charles Spurgeon called Isaiah 55 God's own gospel call. God's own gospel call. He said, forget Isaiah. And think only of Jehovah, who speaks every word in this chapter. The hymn writer said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, draw nigh. 'Tis God who calls his fallen race. To the living waters come and leave all you have and are behind. It's the call of grace. Leave all you are and have behind. It's the call of grace. So let's look at it. Chapter 55, verse 1. Ho! Ho! It's like one standing in the desert calling to the caravan that passes by. Ho! Wait! Hold on. Listen. Stand still. Ho! Be still. Here's good news. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's the Master who speaks. Ho! Stop. Stand still. Wait. Listen. The Master speaks. Everyone that thirsteth. Now this is not a natural thirst. As the woman at the well first thought. She said, give me this water that I come not here to draw anymore. Our Lord said, you drink from this water You'll thirst again and again and again. And no matter how often you drink, you'll still thirst. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. So hold everyone that thirsteth for what? For fellowship with God. Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. My soul thirsteth for thee, the living God, in a dry and thirsty land, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's my thirst. I thirst for the forgiveness of sin. David said, my sins are ever before me. Lord, purge me with hyssop. Wash me. Be merciful to me according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgression. Thirsty. I thirst for the fountain of life. I thirst for his mercy and his grace. I thirst. Oh, everyone that thirsts. And I'm not interested in those things when I'm not talking to you. That's what the Lord said. I'm not talking to you. But I'm not interested. Not talking to you. Water's for the thirsty. Bread's for the hungry. Life is for the dead. Salvation for sinners. Ho! Oh, if you're thirsty, stand still. Hear me. And come to the waters. You know, I looked at that word waters. It's plural. Now I know the water is Christ. The living water is Christ. Christ is the water. He's talking about himself. He that drinketh of this well shall thirst. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. He stood one day at the end of that great feast and he cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's Christ himself. But this says waters. And some of the best writers agree that it's this. Are you thirsty for fellowship with God, for forgiveness of sins, for the fountain of life, for mercy and grace? Then come to the waters. Come to the house of God, where prayer is wont to be made. When Paul went down to the riverside, there was a group of women there who assembled because of one thing. That's where prayer was wont to be made. They assembled there. And Lydia was there. She came to the place. You see, they didn't have a synagogue in that town because you had to have so many families to have a synagogue, and there weren't that many Jews there. But these women met down by the river with one another, and where two or three are met in my name, I'll be in the midst. So come to the house of God where men meet for prayer and preaching and praise. And then come to the word of God. Come to the word preached. Are you thirsty? Come to the waters. Come to the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? God has chosen with the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preach the word. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. He that believes the gospel shall be saved. He that believeth not will be damned. So come to the waters. The place where prayer is wont to be made. The place where the gospel is preached, where the message of Christ is preached to the people who meet in his name. I didn't say go to church. I said find out where the gospel is preached, where the truth is preached, where people meet to worship God. Not to show off their clothes and show off their finery and show off their religion, but they meet to worship God. And the preacher is not man's servant. God's servant, preaching God's word. Come to the waters. Come to the waters and come to Christ. Moses smote the rock, and out of the rock came the water, and that rock is Christ. So that's, you see, the scriptures are bifocal. Somebody said it means this. It doesn't mean that, too. As long as it As long as it honors Christ. As long as it honors Christ. You tell a man to come to Christ, well, where is he, said? Well, he's not in Jerusalem. You go to the Holy Land 100 times and not meet Christ. He's not on this mountain or that mountain or this denomination or that denomination. He's where his people meet in his name and his gospel's preached. That's where he is. He's in the Word. He said, if you meet in my name, I'll be in your midst. So you come to the waters and come to Christ. Come to Christ. When he was crucified, they drove a spear into his side, and out from his side came blood and water. Blood to sanctify, to justify, water to sanctify. Come to the waters. And listen, he that hath no money, come and buy. It's free. Free. Come without money, without price. Freely give them. You know, when our Lord was in the home of Simon, the Pharisee, he said to him, he said, a man had 2 debtors. One owed him a great sum of money, and the other owed him a small sum of money. And when they had nothing to pay, he freely forgave them both. He frankly, freely forgave them both. It doesn't matter how much a man owes, how much or how little, salvation's free. Spurgeon preached one time before the Parliament. Preached a message on God forgiving sinners, Matthew 9, where he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And when he finished his message, he said that one of the members of Parliament came to him and said, that sermon would have better suited Newgate. Newgate was the prison. That sermon, Mr. Spurgeon, would have better suited Newgate than Parliament. And Spurgeon said, it suits all men, high and low, rich and poor, old and young, white and black. It's free. It's a free gospel. When they both had nothing to pay. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 says that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Free. Revelation 21:6 says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Don't bring anything. That poem I read a while ago said, leave all that you have and all that you are and come. Without money, without price. You see that? He that hath no money, come. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price, without promises. Oh, Lord, if you save me, I promise to do this. Don't you dare say that. In my hands, no price I bring. No price. I can borrow money from you based on that. I promise to pay you later. That's no gift. That's a loan. That's a loan. You know what a cult is? Somebody says they're a member of a cult. You know what a cult is? A cult is any religion. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Mormonism, Buddhism, Confucianism, whatever. Jim Jones, the House of David, outshined it burned. A cult is any religion, any salvation, or any hope for heaven that requires anything from you. There's cults meeting all over this town in great big churches this morning. That's a cult, isn't it? That's true, Andy Walter. That's a cult. Anything is a cult. It's a false religion that requires anything from you and from your hand in order to obtain eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Today is Darcy's birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but this is her birthday. And last night her family met together and gave her gifts. Free. And she didn't bring anything. She didn't fix the supper. All she was came, she brought an appetite. That's all. Everything that she received in that glorious feast was freely given. And that's where you come to the Lord to. Empty, needy, a mercy beggar, a mercy beggar. Have nothing, know nothing, am nothing, can do nothing. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I claim. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite? No, these for sin cannot atone. Christ must save, and Christ alone. I'm telling you, the Lord, I'm going to do this. You're not going to do anything but sin. That's right. Grace is a gift. Repentance is a gift. Faith is a gift. Life is a gift. Redemption is a gift. Oh, we do serve Him lovingly and willingly and thankfully. We do give. We do labor. Works of faith, labor of love, but not to be saved or to be accepted. It's because we're His children. Come, ye needy. Come, welcome. God's free bounty glorify. True belief, true repentance. Every grace that brings you nigh, this He giveth. This He giveth. 'Tis the Lord that calls you nigh. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requires is to feel your need of Him. Come. Come and welcome. Come and welcome. God's free bounty. Glorify. Why, verse 2, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do men and women spend time and money in all these religious great programs? I mean, they spend fortunes supporting these television evangelists. Why do they do? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? It's not bread, it's chaff. It's not bread, it's dry husk. It's the husk that the prodigal son ate in the pig pen. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? It doesn't nourish the soul, it destroys the soul. It doesn't, listen, your labor, your striving and labor, your ceremonies and traditions, and all these things, your labor for that which never satisfies, never satisfies, never gives peace. Always like the troubled sea. He said, hearken unto me and eat that which is good. Ask of me, I'll give you living water. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Hearken to me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in spiritual fatness in Christ. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. You can't have rest without Him who ceased from His labor, it's finished, and entered His rest and took you with Him. You can't have comfort and assurance unless you've got an intercessor, a mediator, a high priest interceding for you, Christ. Turn to Luke 8 a moment. Let me show you something over here. Luke chapter 8. This is what I thought of when I read that. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? support these big programs and organizations and build these huge, impressive buildings with their gyms and cafeterias and activities and social worlds. Why do you spend your money for and your labor for that which doesn't satisfy? It's like this woman here in Luke 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood. 12 years she'd been hemorrhaging. 12 years, weak, pale, wan, dying. She spent all her living on physicians. Brother Shanks said she'd spent her money on Dr. You Be Good, Dr. See You Down Front, Dr. Will Dunkum. She tried them all. And when Matthew wrote about it, he said she was no better, but only worse. Worse, worse, worse. Twofold more the child in hell. When she came behind him, she said in Matthew's account, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, not the Pope's garment, a ring, or rub the stone, or kiss the big toe, or go to the Holy Land. She said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be whole. So she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stopped. She got strength. Virtue, he said, strength's gone out of me into her. His strength, his power, his blood, his healing, his rest. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? It never has satisfied anybody. Religion never solved anybody's problem. It adds to them. It's expensive. And labor for that which never satisfies. Come to me. Come to me. Mr. Spurgeon was invited by one of the widows of his church to come for tea. You people who've been to England know when you come for tea, you come to eat too. Tea's like supper. They don't just serve tea. They serve cookies and pastry and things like that. Well, he knew how poor she was. This is from his own writing. He knew that. So when he left home, he got his wife, Susanna, to give him some tea cakes to take along. This is the great Spurgeon. And he went to her house and he sat down and she said, I'll prepare the tea. He said, I brought along some cookies. She took them out of his hand and threw them in the waste can. She said, I didn't invite you to bring tea. I've invited you to take tea. So I'm telling you, God doesn't invite you to bring tea or anything else. Come hungry, thirsty, weary, and he is our feast. Bread and water, wine and milk. Here in verse 3 is two precepts and two promises. I want you to listen to this. Now remember the two precepts and two promises. What are the precepts, Pastor? Verse 3, incline your ear. Hear. You see that? Incline your ear. Come unto me and hear. He said, hear, not walk, not wash, not work. Hear. Brother Muse used to say, don't move a hand nor a hair. Don't you walk down this aisle. You sit still and hear. Hear. Don't walk, don't work, don't wash. Listen. Is that too much to ask of a beggar? Is that too much to ask of a guilty sinner? Is that too much to ask of a condemned criminal who's waiting to be hung? Hear! Incline your ear. The body is fed one way, through the mouth. Somebody said, you are what you eat. In a sense, that's so. You won't be if you don't eat.
I tell you that.
The body's fed through the mouth. Listen, listen.
The soul is fed through the ear. That's right.
He that heareth my word and believes. But you got to hear. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And I'll tell you, you listen to this religious world. Listen to the part. You eat poison, it'll kill you. Eventually. May not kill you right now. But you keep eating it. You keep eating it. And you'll die. And you keep listening to the voices of this world and the reasoning of men and the arguments of men and the doctrines of men, it'll destroy you. But if you can hear him speak who speaks from heaven, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll free you from the bondage of sin, from the dominion of sin, from the penalty of sin, and someday from the grave. Son sets you free, you're free indeed, but you'll hear it. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That's the first precept here. I'm saying now this to any everybody. You better be hearing the word. I don't have a place to go and hear the word. You better find one then. That's just so. Faith comes by hearing. Comfort comes by hearing. The word, hear the word. Now here's the second precept. And come to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Don't come to religion. Don't come to the law. Don't come to men. Don't come to preachers. Don't come to the altar. A man wrote me just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He's very educated. He's got several degrees. I believe he's a doctor of philosophy and religion. But he said, I saw on the 13th Street Baptist Church website an article by you on what's wrong with the invitation. He said, it impressed me. It interests me because I'm writing a book on altars, on coming to the altar. And he gave me the chapter headings about coming to the altar, who meets you at the altar, and the words spoken at the altar, and the dedication of the altar, and all that. And he said, I want you to let me know your thoughts about this outline, this book. I wrote him, usually most questions have a pretty simple answer when they had to do with Christ. I said, open your Bible to Hebrews 13. Open your Bible and find out what this means in Hebrews 13. He's a student, he's a scholar, he's a PhD. He ought to be able to find out what it means. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about with different and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Four words. We have an altar. We have an altar. Believers have an altar. Children of God have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat or to come who serve the law. Circumcision, Sabbath days, holy days, tithes, feast days. They have no right to come. They've got altars. We have an altar. It's Christ. Christ is our altar. I said, you find out who that is and where he is and what he did, you'll have your answer. We have an altar. It's Christ. And here he gives these two precepts. Hear and come to me. He that heareth my word believeth on me. Don't come to these things, come to Christ. Salvation is not moving your feet. It's not moving your head. It's not moving your hand. It's looking to Christ. We have a doctrine. It's Christ. The doctrine of Christ. We have a church. It's His body. This is just a meeting place. This is just a building where we meet. His church is His body. He's the head. We're the body. We have a creed. It's Christ. We don't need a constitution and bylaws. We have Christ. We have a hope. It's Christ in you. We have a priest. We have a high priest. We have such a high priest who's entered into the holiest. Jesus Christ, the righteous, at the right hand of God. He's our high priest. Preacher, you're just simplifying too much. No, Paul said, I got one fear, that Satan, like he deceived Eve, will deceive you and take you away from the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity that's in Christ. Some theologians, it takes them a week to tell a man how to be saved. If a man's lost, I can tell him how to be saved. One word, two letters are just alike. Look. L-O-O-K. That's what Moses said when he lifted up the brazen serpent. Hey! Look! Look! Under Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Don't look to your brethren, the best of them or the worst of them. Don't look to your faith. Faith didn't die for you. Don't look to your experience. Look to Christ. I see. I see. And here's the two promises, and I'll quit. He said, incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul will live. I know something about death. Spiritual death. In Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. We're dead by nature, by birth, and trespasses and sin. Dead. I know something about physical death. It's appointed unto me and wants to die. I watched my dad die, my mother die, my oldest son die, and my only daughter die. And I'm dying. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God said, Adam, you came from the dust and you're going back to it. But there's another death that I fear above all things. And that's the second death. I'll read it to you over here in Revelation 20. You don't need to turn if you don't want to, but I'll read it to you. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second. This is eternal. Man died in trespasses and sin and died physically because of that. He's going to die again if he doesn't believe on Christ and die forever. Hell is an eternal grave. Well, where is eternal life? Well, he said, you incline your ear and come to me and your soul will live. Never die. He that believeth on me shall never die. Lazarus asleep. I go to wake him. I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he said, I'll make an eternal covenant with you. Two promises. Hear me, come to me, and your soul will live, and I'll make a promise. I'll make a covenant that cannot be broken. An everlasting covenant with you. Even, listen, even the sure, sure mercies. There's only one in whom you can have sure mercies, and that's him who lives forever, who cannot lie. Sure. Certain. Unchangeable, immutable. He'll never die. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. They're sure. And they're mercies. Not merit, mercies. Undeserved mercies. mercies of God. Mercy for the sinner, the miserable. And the sure mercies of David. And that's not David
who wrote the Psalm 23.
This is the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're his mercies. God made David the king over Israel, and boy, they partook of the mercies of God because David was their king, but they were all temporal. God has made Christ, the Son of David, our king. He's our witness, prophet, he's our leader, priest, he's our commander, king, and God's going to bless us because of him. Our kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, the very gateway of the glory and kingdom of God is the Lordship of Christ. If you shall believe in your heart, if whosoever shall confess with his mouth Jesus to be Lord, King, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But it's bowing to Christ.